Well, Steve, the weather finally cooled off. The sun is finally out. It's spring training season again. You know what that means.
I do. It's got hot dogs, green grass, and of course, I think the most important thing is baseball.
Right, baseball. Okay. It also means that I get to go out to the ballpark with Charlie Vassalero for what has become our annual kind of Cactus League conversation. Vassalero has covered the Cactus League for a long time. He comes out to Arizona every year for the start of the season to watch baseball's newest prospects get their shot at the big leagues. And this year, it's all about the Brewers. I met Vassalero out at their newly renovated stadium in Maryvale just as their opening game was getting underway.
We are right on the concourse, and it's minutes before the opener here, the historic first opening day of the newly renovated Maryvale Baseball Ballpark. They're announcing all the big stars are in the game for Milwaukee today because, of course, they're playing their home game. So.
Who were the folks booing for there?
They were saying moo for Moustakas.
I should have known. Next, we made our way to a quieter spot on the far side of the outfield to talk more about the new stadium and the history of the Milwaukee Brewers in this neighborhood.
So this ballpark has been here since 1998. It's the 20th season, which seems amazing to me because I remember when the Brewers moved from Chandler, from Compadre Stadium to here. That seemed like a really big deal to me. We loved Chandler, even though it was way out there in the citrus groves and kind of out in the middle of nowhere, agricultural country. But they had a great parking lot, and the Brewers fans are famous for their tailgate parties. And so it was very melancholy and nostalgic, you know, pulling away from Chandler and coming here. And it took us a little while to get used to it. But the Brewers fans, to me, are the essence of this place. And they still do the tailgate party. It's not on a grass parking lot anymore. It's on an asphalt parking lot. But they get here early and stay late and put their grills out and make bratwurst and drink beer. And you could walk up to any party and they'll give you a bratwurst and a beer, which is really cool.
I saw a lot of them coming in, yeah. So this is all renovated, redone, and it came with quite a commitment to the neighborhood here in Maryvale. So it's been in this neighborhood for 20 years. What does it mean that the team, the club, committed to this area and put so much money into this park at this point?
It's pretty huge, and the timing is perfect because the Brewers are coming off one of the best seasons they've ever had. They missed making it to the World Series by one game. They were 40-1 long shots to win the World Series in Vegas before the season started, and then boom, they got almost there. And the Brewers are really committed to this place financially, too. A lot of times when these renovations take place, the municipalities are asked to vote on it or come up with the money, but most of the money for the renovations was contributed by the Brewers themselves for this. I think about $50 million of the $60 million that they've used to fix the place up was thrown in by the Brewers, who also signed a 25-year contract to stay. That's a long time. I don't know if I'll still be coming to games in 25 years. I hope so.
But they'll still be here, yeah. Okay, so that's the neighborhood and that's this new stadium. But like you said, they're coming off this amazing season in which they were really close, and it sounded like no one really thought they were going to do that well, except for you last season, who made the bet that this was going to happen, right?
I did. Friends of mine go to Vegas every year in the winter, and I always tell them to look at the board and tell me who the long shots are. And then I assess whether or not I think the long shots have a chance. And I thought I liked the Brewers. I thought they had a chance. I made the bet even before they signed Christian Yelich and Lorenzo Cain, who were two integral pieces. So that was just my good fortune. And they missed it by just one game. They lost the seventh game of the NLCS to the Dodgers, another Cactus League team. And, you know, the Dodgers lost to the Red Sox in the World Series. I thought the Brewers were so hot going into the playoffs that they would have beat the Red Sox. But yeah, it's a very revitalized team. I think this is about as much anticipation as they've ever entered a season with right now.
So this is just the very beginning of spring training, but tell us a little bit about the history of the team in this area too. Like, you talked about this stadium, but this is a team that goes back quite some time in the Valley.
It's a really fun and completely unique history. So the Brewers started off as the Seattle Pilots, which are often referred to as the one-season wonder Seattle Pilots because they only were a team for 1969. And they did their first spring training out at Tempe Diablo Stadium, where the Angels are now. And they did another spring training there in 1970. At the conclusion of that spring season, the team was sold to Bud Selig, the eventual commissioner of the game. So this is really crazy. He was a, you know, in the he was a used car salesman basically, and so he buys the Pilots at the last minute. There was moving vans with all the team's equipment and uniforms, and they were parked somewhere around Kingman. And they didn't know if they should keep going up north to Seattle or take a right and go to Milwaukee, because there was two deals on the table. And the Milwaukee deal comes through. Boom, they send them to Milwaukee. They take their uniforms and pull the Seattle letters right off of them and just write Milwaukee on front. And they keep the same colors, blue and yellow, which are still the team colors. Those origins are the Seattle Mariners.
So, okay, when I come to a spring training game like I did this weekend, I'm there for the hot dogs and the grass and the sunshine and the fun, and finally it is sunny. But, you know, tell us a little bit about what you were watching for, because you've been writing about this a long time. You're the insider sports guy here. What do you watch when you come to these games?
Well, I'm here for the beer and hot dogs too, but I do like to see the kids. And it's funny because most fans get upset when the star players come out of the lineup after two or three innings, which is inevitable. They don't want to hurt these guys early in the spring. But I'm the exact opposite. I want to see who's wearing number 91 out there and who's wearing number 88, and you know what guys came out of the Arizona Fall League in November that are on these teams and might have a chance to make the roster. Most of the 25-man roster is set in stone before this even starts, but there's a couple of spots that are going to get filled, and that's kind of what I'm interested in.
So is there anybody specific you're watching for this year?
There's a second baseman on the Brewers who I really like. Since we're here in Milwaukee, I'll mention him.
You're flipping through the program here.
Yeah, Ketson Hiura. I saw him in the Arizona Fall League just this past year, and he kind of tore it up. And I said, this guy's going places. Just in a very short season here in Arizona, he hit .323 with five home runs, and he led the league with 33 runs batted in for Peoria. I saw him at the Fall Stars game in November, and he definitely caught my attention. So I'm assuming that eventually this guy's going to crack the big league roster, whether or not it's opening day or after the All-Star break or way in September, but sometime he's going to be out on the field with the Brewers.
So for a player like that who's coming up from the minors or the AAA teams or whatever it may be, like the Farm League, is this like their big shot when they come out for opening day on spring training?
You can hear the butterflies' wings flapping in their stomachs from your seats. Just yesterday, I was out at Salt River Fields, and a ball gets hit out into the outfield, and the outfielder is trying to hit the cutoff man, and they botched the cutoff. They sent both guys out for it. Nobody was on second base, but that's a spring training mistake to make. And then the guys inevitably try to throw the ball too hard. They're trying to show that hose. They're trying to show their arm to the manager and say, look at my arm, and then they end up throwing it into the ground because they're trying so hard. And it's funny, and by the end of the spring, they get a few more chances, but definitely those first couple of games, you see a lot of what I'll just call mental errors. And what I'm looking for in a player, if I think he's going to make it to the big leagues, is his fundamentals. Where is he? How does he put his feet under his body when he's throwing? How does his swing look? How does his concentration?
Okay, so as you're watching today's game and as the season kicks off and you get to come back out to Arizona like you do every year for Cactus League spring training, what do you love about it?
I love everything about it. I love the smell of baseball. I love looking at the grass and seeing how well the groundskeepers kept it. It had some weather here in Arizona.
Yeah.
It's spring training for everyone. It's spring training for the umpires, for the groundskeepers, for the concessionaires. I look forward to seeing the familiar faces of the beer vendors in the stands and saying Happy New Year to them when we see each other, and the ticket takers, and just everybody.
Charlie Vassalero, thanks so much.
Thank you, Lauren.